Advent Chapter 10. The Threefold Coming of Christ. Eve of the Nativity.
He came with love to Bethlehem. He comes with grace into our souls. He will come with justice at the end of the world. Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene.
The Church speaks of a threefold coming of Christ anticipated during the Advent season. His first coming is a matter of history. His final coming is a matter of faith. But his present coming seems shrouded in mystery. Is Christ truly present to us now? And if so, is his presence only a spiritual consolation for those with personal belief and piety? Or is there at present some real flesh and bone to Christ's incarnation? Before I attempt to address these questions, let us first recall the four Advent oracles discussed in Chapter 5. 1. Nations will stream to the mountain of the Lord, which speaks of counterintuitive wisdom. 2. They will pound their weapons into gardening tools. 3. Wolves will lie down with lambs. 4. A virgin will bear a son who will lead us. I once attended a peace conference where several communities from around the world, all in the process of rising above conflict, poverty, and injustice, came to share their stories. My job was to listen, and at the end of the day, reflect back to the group on what I had heard. The stories were incredible. Ari, a Sri Lankan man who had successfully helped many impoverished communities become self-sustainable, profoundly understood the fragile nature of human dignity and the degrading dependency on external powers, through aid, inflicted on those whom they profess to help. He explained how, when he begins to work with a community, he helps them to unhook from the external aid that breeds dependency and servitude. He knew how hard it was to resist that help, which, in the short run at least, relieved present misery. When I listened to Ari's story, I was struck by the incredible counterintuitive wisdom that had been revealed to him. And I thought of that first oracle. Nations will stream to the mountain of the Lord. Dennis, from Bougainville, Papua New Guinea, led an armed revolutionary revolt for decades against colonial Australia at a time when its policies towards Bougainville were terribly oppressive. He recounted the horrors of a war in which he lost his wife and son, and personally suffered crippling wounds. He then told of his eventual conversion to Christ and his commitment to the way of peace, a way that for him involved leadership roles including, interestingly, a new role as a master gardener. And I couldn't help but think of that second oracle. They will pound their weapons into gardening tools. It was at the same conference where I met Ahmed, an Arab man, and Dorit, a Jewish woman, who together lived as neighbors in an intentional peace community in Israel. By no means did they agree on a common narrative about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and both carried deep scars on account of that history. However, they and their fellow community members committed to working out those disagreements and healing their wounds in the context of a caring, neighborly relationship. Over lunch, I asked Ahmed and Dorid if they were familiar with Isaiah's oracle about the wolf and the lamb. Ahmed winked at me and he said, "Yes, and I'll leave it to you to decide which one of us is the wolf and which is the lamb." And I thought long about that third oracle. Wolves will lie down with lambs. Then one afternoon, offering us a welcome break from the headiness of the conference, a contemplative nun, Sister Pine, took us outside and led us all on a walk of mindfulness and attentiveness. While slowly stepping barefoot through the cool grass, I was suddenly gifted with an overwhelming, childlike delight in the miracle of creation. I am one who lives more in my head than in my body, so experiences like this, though more common as I get older, are always a surprise and a gift. Only a few weeks earlier, my grandson Luca had taken me by the hand into an overgrown bramble next to the playground near his house. I couldn't interest him in the multicolored structure designed to entertain and exercise youngsters. Instead, he wanted to show his pop-up the deep, dark woods, where we spent some time with our faces close to the ground inspecting bugs, snails, and curious plants. At one point, he yelled, "Look, pop-up! It's beautiful!" I leaned in to see the speck of a tiny spider crawling across a leaf. Indeed, it was beautiful. But I would have missed seeing it if this boy priest hadn't led me into his hallowed sanctuary of sacred mysteries and delights. And I thought of that fourth oracle. A virgin will bear a son who will lead us. By the end of the conference, as I reflected on these stories and how, in my mind at least, they corresponded to the Isaiah oracles, I heard a distinct whispering in my ear. See, I am here. Now, in case readers are concerned that I'm preoccupied only with outward physical signs of Emmanuel, God with us, to the exclusion of personal spiritual manifestations, let me conclude this chapter with a story and a song that will prove otherwise. Several years ago, I was sitting in a coffee shop reading a book when suddenly there was a palpable change of atmosphere in the room. It started with a mild feeling of alarm that made me look up. Then I became overwhelmed with a powerful sense of fiery presence, which I recognized in my spirit as the presence of God. Although it seems fantastical, and I don't quite know how to begin to describe it, I can only say that the experience was like being submerged in love and wisdom and knowledge and assurance, although I would be hard-pressed to define any of these in any detail. My body started to shake as tears flowed uncontrollably. At the same time, a lyric and melody began to form in my mind, and I knew a song was emerging. And then I was suddenly startled out of my state when I felt a gentle hand on mine, and I looked up to see a concerned waitress. "Are you okay, sir?" she kindly asked. "Oh yes," I said. "This is a good day, but can you please bring me a napkin and pen?" She quickly returned, assuming, I think, that the napkin was to wipe my eyes and nose, but instead I used it to write down a song, one that strikes me as a fitting end to a collection of Advent reflections. He comes with grace indeed.
Even so, Lord Jesus, come, O divine and glorious Son. So